Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and spend this hour with you. It's so exciting, and time's flying. It's just going by so fast, and I really enjoy this time with you guys every week. And today, we are actually going to be live from South America. And tune in. It's so exciting. Hermian and David Vandenberg are going to be with us today. They actually have been on a mission to change lives, doing missionary work in five different countries for the past 9+ years. Now they're offering coaching to women all over the world to break through limiting beliefs, heartaches, stagnation, so they can enjoy freedom, true joy, and kingdom success through mind renewal techniques. I want to say, but I'm going to ask them when we talk today, men are welcome too, because we want to have the men, a lot of men have these same issues that happen, you know, to both of everybody, men and women. Their method is actually based on a biblical and neuroscientific principles, and I'm really excited to dig in and ask a lot of questions and hear about how this works. Because when you do get the Holy Spirit in your life, so many things change. I mean, that's evident. And but there's more to this. They're just amazing what they're able to do through mind renewal techniques, assisting people and live wherever they want to live while they're doing it. So I'm so excited. Their coaching is called Palace Women Coaching. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Hermian and David. How are you?
Thank you, Natalie. Sure. What a wonderful privilege to be on this show and to be able to share our life story. And
we're so honored and excited to be with you. And just a small correction: we are actually in South Africa.
Yeah, not South America.
Oh,
at
wait
the
a minute. I know that. I really apologize. I think that's a senior moment. No, I know you're in South Africa.
Zero
problem. Thank you for correcting me. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, tell us. Oh, we're very honored to have you on too, and taking the time with the time difference too, et cetera. I really appreciate it. Tell us about your life. Like, what got you on the course of doing missionary work, and now transforming and positioning, doing both with coaching, et cetera.
Well, I was actually at a crossroads in my life. You know, I was in my late 50s, and just to give a bit of context about me and David, we are a mom and son team on a God adventure, so to speak. But being a single mom, you know, I got divorced a number of years ago, maybe already 20 years ago, and David finished his school, and, you know, like young people do, they go on a gap year, and I was just waiting and dreading that he was going to tell me that he wants to go to London, because I just knew what all these young people would do. But he turned around and he said, "Mom, I want to either do volunteer work, or I want to go to Bible school." And I was kind of fabulously gobsmacked, because it, you know, it just, I was just so surprised and so pleased. And anyway, I went to our pastor, and he organized for him to go to mission school in the Philippines, because he said he would really get into the grit of what mission life is, because you meet these people from the east, from the Far East, and David can talk more about that. But simultaneously, what happened then is I was in a relationship with somebody. I was a wannabe hopeful that it would work, but it didn't. And he was the CEO of an organization that I worked with at the time, and my project was to transform people from poverty to prosperity in the South African context. But we broke up, and shortly after that, his whole organization broke up, and I got retrenched with everybody else that was on my social responsibility program. Yeah, so it was devastating. I thought it was the end of my life. I was fearful about finances and everything. And a friend of mine, they had a wonderful home on the beach in Mauritius, which is a small island just off Africa, the East Coast, and they said to me, why don't you come to us for a three-month period just to recoup and to reconsider what you want to do with your life. So I went there, and, this is one of those things. I used to be so fearful about my future, and God was actually using it to put me on a completely different path, and he blessed me. I lived in this five-star home, all expenses paid, for 3 months, grieving over the boyfriend, but at the same time, I was really searching the scriptures to say, Lord, I'm late 50s. What do I do with my life? I used to be a video producer, and I didn't want to go back to that because it's very stressful in the TV industry. Anyway, I just kept seeing one line in the Bible, travel throughout the region. I kept on underlining travel throughout the region. It didn't say how and what I must do on the region or traveling. Anyway, I went with that line back to South Africa, but I invited myself out to preach in Mauritius, and I launched myself, because I think as a divorced person, you sit in church pews, but you never get invited into actual ministry, although I've got a two-year Bible school, qualification. Mm-hmm. I was never invited into ministry. You just keep on going Sunday to Sunday to Sunday church. And I had this burning desire to actually preach and teach. So I invited myself out there, and I started, just tasting what it was like. And the first time that I went to this Creole church, there's the local people, and it was evangelistic preaching, and 40 people came to the front. I was just amazed. So it really ignited me. Anyway, I went to South Africa, and for a year it was difficult. But in the meantime, David was in the Philippines, and maybe he just wants to, color that part in.
Yeah, no, sure, I'll do that. So it was quite amazing how God weaved the story together, because while my mom was going through this transition out of the corporate world into abandoning everything, literally giving up an address to go with God and say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I will go. I came back from mission school, and I was so on fire. I just told everyone about Jesus, and just coming back to my past, I was, doing whatever high school people do, just messing around, not taking life seriously, and had a radical encounter with God in the Philippines. And when I came back, I started doing ministry with my church and on university campus. And then after that, it was about 2014 July. I had a crossroads. I was starting to work with my mom a little bit on a youth project, and I really wanted to go to just give my life already into the mission field in another nation or in a poverty-stricken area. And the Lord told me, join your mom. And this was so absurd. Yeah, it's so strange. In our culture, we are Afrikaners. In the Afrikaner culture, it's all about when your child is done with high school and studies, you just let them go overseas or wherever they can make a good life for themselves. And the Lord told me, join your mom. And we actually got a lot of persecution in the early years of joining each other in missions.
Yeah, it was like people couldn't understand it. They thought David was feeling sorry for his mom, and I was probably thinking I'm manipulating him or whatever. But it was a big heartache to carry that, because it was sometimes, this is the thing with when you launch out like that in full surrender to God, sometimes people that are closest to you become kind of a stumbling block. And it was not one person, it was several, and they would keep on trying to dissuade us from doing what we were doing. But you know what, once you have that call on God, and you just you are just compelled to go forward, and And in my mind, I was shocked when my son wanted to join me because I was actually always saying to him, listen, David, I better tell you this because soon you're going to be gone. You know, the whole idea of launching
right.
your child that he's into the world, be independent, get away from,
yeah.
from family, just go and do your own thing. And here he was like flying like a bird right back into my hand. And but God gave me a scripture which was so powerful at the time, but I didn't share it with anybody because I didn't want my son to hear it. I didn't want to manipulate him into saying this is scripture, this is what God is saying. But he was actually saying to me, I think it was out of Isaiah, that he will be married, your son will be married to your land. So the word marriage in that context means to me, I interpret it as covenant relationship to your land, which is your land of productivity. So I kept that into my heart. And you know, it was difficult with later years in my life. I needed to know what was going on, but I couldn't and I wouldn't press him. I just had to trust God that whatever he's birthing here, that it's from him and that will have a staying power. But that scripture, no matter how the persecution came, I just kept it in my heart, and I trusted God. And anyway, when we started getting a website together as two missionaries, then I realized my son would never put together a website if he was not 100% serious about working
right.
with me.
Right.
And he had to eventually convince his father, and that was also a whole process because he was very dead against this. But ultimately, he turned around completely because David completely disarmed him because he went to him in the spirit, and it was through a dream that he had that convinced him. Because there was nothing to show in the beginning. I think for the first 3 years, It was very hard.
It was really, we basically just ministered to people one-on-one. That was pretty much our ministry. And then until the Lord launched us in 2017, he opened up the door to nations, and we could see, you know, thousands of people hearing about Jesus, hearing the gospel, and being able to minister to
but
people.
But what I do want to say, the pivotal change came in 2016, but I think we need to backtrack a little bit and just give
You've been doing it for 9 years, right? Over 9 years probably, right? Is that about how long it's been? About?
Yes.
Yes. And but I think what was for me so impressive about David is his encounters with young people from the East. They are a different breed altogether, which is the real deal. I mean, young girls would swim across rivers to escape North Korea just to go to the school that went.
Really?
And
So other nations as well, which I won't mention, but persecuted nations where my roommates actually went back and lost their families, got their Bibles torn up. And what was amazing for me was, you know, coming from South Africa, you know, Christianity in many senses is very passive here. There are areas, you know, like pockets of revival, but there's just a lot of passivity in the church. And going into the Philippines, seeing people that are from, you know, from, there was about 18 different nationalities in my class, and seeing people that were literally ready to give up their lives, to say, like, I'm actually preparing myself to die if that needs to be my task that I need to fulfill for the Lord. So I think just being in that environment did a big thing in my heart. And the Lord really showed up and showed himself to me. And what I realized was, if you can have a real tangible encounter with God, that is what transforms you, and that is what puts a fire in you that the world can't take away.
But the pivotal change for us, because it was like really trudging through the desert in those first 3 years, it was really tough. We had no money because it was just nobody would believe in us. Friends would say, go and eat. My son would need to find a job in a restaurant as a waiter. Anyway, long story short, we came home one day and he says, Mom, there's the Azusa Now conference revival conference is going to happen in Los Angeles. That was 2016.
Yeah, that was in the Coliseum in LA.
With Lou Engel and, you know, all the big names that we are drooling over, like Bill Johnson, Heidi Baker, Todd White, you name it, they were all there. So at that stage, we were so hungry for the encounter with God, so hungry to be in the presence where we can have an impartation from people like that.
Right.
And he came
wow.
in. But that was about a month and a half before the actual conference. And we were in Hermanus, which is a small coastal town in South
and
Africa.
And we were like in one of the lowest points in our finances. Like
nothing.
We jokingly talk about the bean and bone era, where it's like
right.
if we wanted to, like right. South Africa, we love to barbecue. And sometimes we wouldn't have even have money for meat. So we would just like, we would just have like corn on the fire. And we'll be eating bean and bone soup. And that was the space that we were in when
yes.
we had this desire to travel to America.
So Dawid and I looked at one another and I said, let's go and walk along the coast and pray in tongues for an half an hour. And when we come back, we must make a decision. But on the way back, something actually happened. There was a sign for me. But still, when we talked to one another, when we looked at one another, we looked like two, chickens that were standing in the rain, if I can explain it like that. There was no confidence, there was no fire, there was just, and I said, so what? What are we deciding? And we decided, yes, we're going to go.
What happened? You said something came through to you. Did God say, did you hear something? A thought came through? You were saying something happened with you.
There was a couple sitting at a restaurant on our way, and I recognized this man. And when we got to the guest house where we stayed, he was actually he was also booked in. But I had a supernatural experience maybe 10 years before that where God, this is supernatural. I can't, this is the whole
mm-hmm.
story. I can't go
mm-hmm.
through it. But where miracles happened to me in a time when I lost someone in life and I was not able to work because I was so depressed. And God literally did miraculous mm-hmm. provision, but it's you can't, you have to hear the whole story to understand it. And here this man sits, and I always associated him with miracle intervention. So when
wow.
I saw him, I knew miracle intervention, but you know what?
You know,
you see that.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
we were not jumping up and down from happiness because when we said we're going, because we knew there was a mountain to climb. There was a big jump to
tickets,
take.
Tickets, visas, planning, accommodation in America, travel in America. How are you going to to afford all of that?
Long story short, we spent there a month. We stayed in a penthouse just off Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills.
How did you go? How did that happen?
That's a story in itself.
We got onto the plane without money, and you know what happened is because my son, David, booked our ticket, and it was with the lowest ticket we could get with Saudi Arabian Airlines, and the bank made a mistake. They double charged, so it went into debt, so we couldn't draw any money.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It went double.
So
yeah.
we had
I understand.
The little bit money that we had, which was about, I think, $200 is all that we had. And just how we actually got the tickets
one thing we did was we
said on Facebook, this is what we're doing, and we got a little bit here, a little bit there. And I had a friend at that time that came to me, and he put just like a sick brick of money in my hand, which was nearly about enough to buy one ticket. So it really came in, like, it was at
bits
the last week. We were able to buy a ticket, like, just in time. Like, on the last, literally, like, a week before we wanted to be there, we got the ticket.
But we ended up being in, Tower City next to Los Angeles? But anyway,
we were down at
Joshua Mills, also revival broke out. We were in Pasadena with a Revival Alliance Church where everybody was the who's who of revival.
I'll just tell this real quick testimony because it's so mind-blowing to me. So when we arrive, this is now just before the revival at the Coliseum with Azusa now. So there was what they call the Revival Alliance with Pasadena and Sean Bowles and like all these guys being there, like just people gathering that are serious about the kingdom. And we're an hour and a half away, Beverly Hills. Now the question is, the thing starts The conference starts like in 2 days' time. We have got, we don't have money to go there. We don't have accommodation to stay there. We've got nothing, but we want to go. So I call up. I remember I had a friend that she, like in January, she came to America. I had no idea where in America she was. So I call her up. I say, listen, I want to go to Pasadena. I don't tell her that I need that we don't have any money. I just say we want to go to Pasadena. We want to do this. And without sharing my need, she says to me, you won't believe it. I'm an hour away from Pasadena. I'm going to arrange accommodation for you. And Jesus just gave me so much money. I'm going to cover all of your expenses with food and travel.
Wow.
And we had, so it was, that's literally, it was,
one
it,
of
was
many.
It was step by step like that for a month.
Right. So, but what happened then when we came back to South Africa, it was stop, start. And that was in the middle of the year. And 6 months later, that January 2017, David has got a Chinese friend, and he invited us to his factory in Lesotho, Maseru, to come and do ministry. And he opened up that whole factory for us until today. Well, I just absolutely love this man. He's so humble. We went in there and always everything, just open door ministry, and it's been going on for a couple of years now. So
And now there's weekly gatherings around Bible study for Chinese people.
And the Filipinos. And the Lesotho people. Oh, my goodness. We saw deliverance.
Oh, God bless
you. We have had every possible scenario in the book. We have experience there, and recently there were missionaries that were trained in Bethel, and they came for the first time, and they said to us, there's revival here, but we've been so used to when we walk into the factory of thousands of Lesotho workers, and they will just start shouting, hallelujah, you know, it's just this atmosphere that's electric. But, that is just one of the places that we go. We travel now to five different countries, in a year.
And it's been awesome. Yes, God has been so good.
Gosh, that is so fantastic what you're doing. That's amazing. So you've been, congratulations. It's just amazing how the doors keep opening and opening and how you've done so much. Wow. That's so exciting.
Yes.
So now you've also pivoted to offer to do the missionary work, and also offer coaching. Do you tie that in? You talk to them, I mean, if people have already been saved, or how does that work?
Okay, it's really started with us, I think, being natural coaches, that because that's what you do. The thing that's frustrated me a lot, what I see in the whole church movement, so to speak, is that people become saved, but they often remain miserable and powerless. And especially we saw that on the missions field. And so you obviously cannot help every person when you're on the mission field. And so you try and focus on specific leaders. So as we started coaching these leaders, because my thing is, I just don't want to teach them doctrine only. I want them to get a grip on how to improve their lives, you know, because God says, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And when I see the gap between what is actually happening in people's lives and what God's word is for them, then it bothered me deeply. So a few years ago, we were in Botswana for an extended period of time, and God started telling me through whole experience that he wants me to do coaching. I didn't even know how we would be coaching, what coaching system we would have. I knew nothing. I started developing a coaching by myself using the Life Wheel. I don't know if you know the Life Wheel. But anyway, I started sharing this with David, and I started pinpointing certain areas and mindsets that we have that are tripping us up. For example, you know, when you live like that with little money, you start developing a lack-based mindset, a kind of a scarcity mindset, and we're really suffering from that, because even though we were, wherever we stayed, God, because I guess because I left house and house behind, he always put us in five-star places most of the time, or in on farms or things that would be fantastic for us. So we stayed in these all these amazing places. Always been for the last 10 years. Now, for my age, to just live out a suitcase for 10 years is quite something, but God's great.
Right.
God's great.
Right.
He's upon it. But, yeah, so anyway, so he started talking about, because we were calling out to him, what do you want us to do? And it was just before COVID. And he talked about online church. He talked about coaching and different. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things. And obviously also helping single moms. But I've put that a bit on the back burner because we see that all kinds of people, like you say, it's not just women. It's young people. It's men.
Right.
They all are into this. So we've changed away from just women into open because, people are just approaching us and we're not going to turn them away.
How many people need it, especially since COVID? You know, especially there's a lot of extra stress happening all around the world now, too. And
exactly. Yeah, people are getting fearful and hopeless, and they feel stuck. They feel sad. They feel inferior. They feel... and I can just tell you one story which set me off on a journey, because for the literally since Darby, he's now 30 years old, since he was 10 years old, around about that time, I was just came through a divorce, and you know, any divorced woman just has got so much self-doubt and guilt and shame and condemnation and all those things, and disappointment and hurt and all of that. So, but I had my little boy, and I just wanted to be there for him, and I knew that my calling then was to be there for him. So I didn't put myself out to do too much work, but I felt very frustrated because I used to live the high life, and I couldn't understand why I just ended up in this humble little flat next to the school with my son, and just things didn't look right for me. It just like was so struggling. There was no, financially very big challenges. And the one night I had this dream of a massive eagle, but it couldn't fly because it had these stones in its stomach. And when I woke up, I immediately knew that was me and every other Christian for that matter who's not walking or performing their calling or their purpose on our earth. We are these eagles. We are supposed to fly in our destiny, but something
right.
are holding us. And I knew that was me. I intrinsically knew that there's so much potential, but it was weighed down by something. And I tried to work it with my rational mind, try to figure out what could it be. And one day I was living in this town, which is a small town where they plant a lot of vineyards and olive trees. And it's a very beautiful, mountainous place. And I went walking in the mountains, and it was just like this gentle voice said to me, I want to take you into the promised land because you're in the desert. But the thing is, I cannot take you there right now because your mind has become programmed for the desert.
Oh right!
So,
really, that was a scarcity mind check coming through. Yeah.
Well, that's other things. The thing is, I didn't even think about that. That was one of them. I think there are clusters of toxic negative mindsets that they have in their subconscious mind that they're not aware of. But we that is your autopilot. So you run on that thing and you keep on attracting that because it's all fear-based kind of thinking, but deeply embedded
right.
in your inner man. And I immediately thought, and it was before, I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Caroline Leaf and Joyce Meyer. They were the forerunners about
Joyce
mind
Myers,
renewal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before I even heard of those things, God was starting to talk to me about this. And he said, my mind is programmed because I came out of a high life, decided to go for God, went to Bible school, got into a marriage, was a failure, and now, stretching through the desert, I started thinking like a desert person, and thinking like that, I cannot go over to the... And that was the Israelite story as well. That old generation never got over because they had this locust...
Exactly. Right. They thought they wanted to go to what was comfortable to them, what they thought they deserved, so to speak. Yep. Yeah. There's definite limiting beliefs, right, that many people have. And I think we all have them at different times if we don't recognize and aren't aware of what we're doing.
And that is a thing, anyway. So I said, God, what are you saying to me? I didn't even know about mindsets or thought life. I didn't even know how it worked all inside. Nobody ever told me. But I started listening, and the first thing that came to me was that I have this underlying little voice that says everybody else can have it, because that town is a very rich town. It's a university town. It's a wine farming town. All these people, I get to walk for 2 hours on a Sunday through this town, and everybody's got houses, everybody's got families, everybody's got whatever they need, and I live in this little dumbed down little flat with my son. And so the thought was formulating in my mind without me even knowing it, that everybody else can have what they can have it, or everybody else can do what they want to do and have what they want to have, but I can't. And then the assumption comes, there must be something wrong with me. And then the assumption goes even further, but what is wrong with me? Of course, I'm guilty. I'm a failed marriage. I am not worthy, and therefore I'm fearful. But those things are underlying, and the reason why they have so much power, the devil can only have power when he hides away. So God started, there was a woman, she was a very tiny little missionary from up Africa, very, very dark little person, skin-wise, and she said to me, I've been praying for you through the night hours, because I was emotionally bankrupt when I went through a divorce like everybody else. And she said, do not go to people. Go to Jesus alone. And I listened to her. Thank God. Because when my son used to go to school, I feel the sadness come over me, I would jump on my bed, and I would just start talking to God. And he started giving me this word, why. He says, why am I feeling that? Invariably, I would either bump into this deep disappointment, guilt, or whatever, and I would bawl my eyes out, and I invariably also had to forgive somebody. And so God was slowly, slowly, slowly healing me. But so my journey then, I started being fascinated with what was going on the inside. This kingdom of God is on the inside.
It is inside. Amen. Yes.
That is your inner life, your conscious mind, your thoughts and your emotions. And then your subconscious mind, which are your strong beliefs plus your emotions, strong emotions, which is in your subconscious mind, which really runs 90% of your life. But I knew nothing of that. I didn't know that outside, the outside world actually formed perceptions that performed, thoughts, emotions.
From the inside, thoughts, you're kind of right. Right. That's
right.
Amazing.
And those, the words, the emotions, and the talk that you do every day are the building material. And then there's the process of building these fixed mindsets, which is the automatic program of your life. But anyway, so going through all of that, God showed me so many techniques through so many experiences. I've got a whole thing about forgiveness as well. But anyway, long story short, I started using these techniques on David, even when he was at school. And obviously he thought of, what is his mom talking about? Until we were in Malawi, and he one night woke me up like 1 o'clock, and we were both took malaria pills because we were not feeling well, and there you don't take chances. So we're not feeling great, but we just took that as a precautionary measure. And that night, it was a big storm. We were on the lake, and it sounds like roaring waves, even though it's a lake. And these big waves were making such a noise. And we were in this cottage on the lake, and my son woke me up. And there's not like great electricity. It's like this dim lights, and it looks kind of eerie. And he stood there, and in the dim light, I could see his face was ashen, and his teeth were clattering. And he says, Mom, take me to the hospital. And I felt dizzy myself. And now it means it's treacherous roads, it's treacherous hospitals. I don't have a car. I've got to woke up a man with a four-wheel drive somewhere. I've got to go and find him and then go on these roads. And you know what? I I just said, listen, I've got to drink coffee first. Go and get your passport. Go and get your hospital record, your previous malaria thing. Just get things together. I just want to wake up properly. And now you hear the wind howling and the trees making this noise. But anyway, and something inside of me wouldn't want to believe that what he's thinking is, what he was thinking is that he had a cerebral malaria, because we had a friend that turned on death's door. So in his mind, no, the devil has got him. He's in the middle of the night. He's right. Think something way down on him, and he's petrified. He's got this. And he doesn't tell me, but in my heart, I sense, I wonder if he hasn't got a panic attack of some sort, anxiety attack. And I thought it was like 2 o'clock in the night. I thought I'm going to call his father. I was taking a chance. I don't know if he's with his wife or whatever, but anyway, I called his father. Thank God he's a movie director and he was on a night shoot somewhere. And I said to him, Richard, listen, I've got David here. And I was talking quietly and I said, I personally think it's a panic attack, anxiety attack. But if you say I can wait until 6 o'clock in the morning, then I'll wait. But if you say I must go now to the hospital, then I will do that. But I just, anyway, I said, let's agree on this. And he said to me, no, wait until the sun comes out. So long story short, we're at the doctor the next day, and the man said...
It was a panic attack, or...
Yeah, well, yes, they tried to give him, did the malaria test, he didn't have malaria, gave him antibiotics in case something other was wrong with him. I went back, and then that stage, people from South Africa were calling me and said, listen, get your son out of Malawi, there's witch doctors, they probably cursed you, get him out. But something in me said, no, I'm not going today. So I said to David, it was like louvers, we locked the place up. I told all the staff at the lodge, I said, look, for 1 week, we're not doing ministry. I'm just shutting down. And thank God, I've ordered some good food from the nearest big town. So I said to David, go and lock yourself in your room. There's your Bible. We had a book of Bill Johnson, Strengthen Yourself in the Lord. And I said, go and renew your mind. Do the mind switch, which I have been telling you to do. Write down all your fears, get it explicit on paper, and then take that thought captive unto the obedience of Christ, which is, what does God say about all these things? This is your say-so. What does God say-so? And he went there in for a week. I fed him morning, noon, and night, great food, just all vitamins and everything, because he was so weak, he couldn't hardly walk. Well, after that week, we came out both, and we went on from glory to glory, did crusades, went onto the mountaintops with the Malawians, declared revival over Malawi. It was amazing. And since then, he understands the power of mind renewal and the techniques that I showed him. And, you know, anyway, that is that.
That's beautiful. So that's great. Because the techniques, you know, our energy level, God, you know, the Holy Spirit coming in is so huge, and our energy level that we're giving is huge, right? Whether and our fear thoughts do come in. So you were talking about neuroscientific principles. Is that where you're tying it in with the thoughts and the
What is so amazing is that in the last, I would say, maybe 4 decades since the 1970s, when the first MRI scan came out. Before that, scientists and even Christians believed that the brain is fixed, that we can't, brain cells are dead, you can't build new, and you're also a victim of your genetics. They didn't say that you could stop your thoughts and take them captive.
Right, and you can.
And you can. Today, mind renewal, the scientists are calling it neuroplasticity, because it's the malleability of the brain. The brain is not static like any other organ. It can grow and the structure can change. That's why psychologists called it cognitive restructuring. But all it is science catching up with the Bible, which King Solomon said, you are what you think. You know, Jesus said, repent, which means metanoia, for the kingdom of God is here. It means change the way you think. And Paul said, be transformed through the renewal of your mind so that you know what the perfect will of God is. And we know that is heaven on earth. So that is God's methodology, is renewal of the mind.
That's amazing. And now you're doing the coaching and you're actually... what are you doing? Assessing the people in the beginning and kind of working through this with your coaching, and you're kind of bringing transformation about that way, which is really amazing.
And that has been so rewarding and exciting to see. Of course, you know, the people on the mission field, like we just do that as our passion. We spot individuals that we want to coach. But we started this coaching business, Palace Coaching, really to take people from the prison into the palace. And what that means basically is a lot of people are, you know, they might be walking free outside, but they are imprisoned on the outside. They are imprisoned by thoughts, by emotions.
Right.
Just by all of these limiting beliefs and heartache. And they want that palace life, and that's really the kingdom of God life. That is the life of righteousness, peace, and joy, and abundance that God promises to give us. And we are using these simple mind renewal tools and techniques to make mind renewal accessible so that people can break out of the prison and into the palace. So because if you can identify your thoughts, those hidden subconscious thoughts, that's half of the battle won. Because if you can then swap them, exchange them for thoughts that line up with truth, with thoughts that are positive, life-giving, that's where our life changes. Because Proverbs 4:23 says that life flows from the heart. And some translation says life flows from the mind. And that's because from a Hebraic perspective, the word heart and mind is actually interchangeable. It's your thought life. So mind renewal since the early 2000s has been such a buzzword. And, you know, people getting excited about mind renewal and, you know, hearing sermons on it. But what does it practically look like? How do I practically do it? And that's where we come in and we help people to, you know, where somebody might take them 5 years or 10 years to work through a certain process. We've got a 90-day rapid implementation program so that in just 90 days, people can break through limiting beliefs, heartache, and stagnation and into complete freedom and true joy and kingdom success. And just to summarize, kingdom success is really when you get a clear understanding of who you are, your value, how God sees you. Not what you've been through, not what the world says, because that's what identity looks like in the world.
Not the story. Right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, or what have I accomplished, not accomplished? And like, who are you when everything that you have is stripped away from you? Who are you then? And it's really to come to that revelation of who you are. And then in turn, when you've got a clear understanding of that, of who you are, then we can talk about what you are called to do. Because your calling is intrinsically woven into the design that God has placed inside of you. Because we are handmade. The Bible says that God formed
us.
He knitted us together in our mother's womb. It wasn't like copy-paste. He literally said,
Jeremiah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we each have one fingerprint for a reason. You know, God has certain talents for each one of us. Yeah.
Absolutely. And what's been so rewarding is to see that within a month, people already get results. And what we found is that all the principles of mind renewal are in the Bible, and science is just coming to back it up. And when you implement it, but not only implement it, but implement it in the right way, results are guaranteed because God cannot lie. And he's so, so faithful. And what happens is, you know, when people grow up, like from a young age, there's constantly messages coming. And the devil also gives you messages like, you're not good enough or you're not going to make it. And nobody taught us how to think when we were little. Nobody said to us when we had fear or when we had anger, it's like, let me process with you and let's get into your subconscious mind to what you are thinking, Because if we can make it's going to make a switch in your emotions. It's going to make a switch in the results that you have in life and what you produce. Because God, we are like gateways. We are producers. That's how God designed us. The Old Testament says that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's Isaiah 55 verse 8. In the New Testament, it says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Like my mom said, repent is change the way you think. Meta means together. Pent is like up, down. It's like penthouse. So Old Testament, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. New Testament, come and think with me. That is the grand invitation that God has said, I'm giving you access to my mind so that the life that Jesus modeled is not something that we sit back and applaud. It's actually something that we are invited into, that there's tremendous purpose for your life. No matter where you are sitting or what your circumstances look like, God can change it in the blink of an eye.
Absolutely. Amen. How does everybody reach you? I want to, before we, because if people contact us, of course, we'll put them in touch with you. But how can you give us contact information here online?
Yes,
now?
Sure. We'd actually love to send out a free gift just to assist people in their mind renewal journey. If they can request the gift at our email address, which is palaceinvite, just like you spell the two words, palaceinvite@gmail.com. Palaceinvite@gmail.com.
And of course, our name is not that easy to spell, but my personal Facebook page is Our Shop Floor. So I people can contact me there. It will be fantastic. And then once a month, we have what we call Palace Community. And people who want to contact us can either contact me via Facebook or via the email, and we would love to have them on our monthly Palace Community, where we all come together to discuss similar things and just process this whole transformation message that God is releasing all over the world, because I really believe that we're in a new phase, that we're coming out of a place. I was talking to somebody today about this, you know, also it's almost like the Dark Ages where the Christian community didn't understand what repent properly mean, because the word was called in the Middle Ages was called penance, and people misunderstood what that scripture meant, what Jesus said, repent for the kingdom. They said pay money for the forgiveness of your sins, beat yourself up, penitentiary. That's where penance is, the root of penance. So people had a totally distorted, corrupt understanding of repentance. And then they discovered that it means actually change the way you think. And only recently, through signs that are confirming now that mind renewal is possible, have people now in pockets all over the world started waking up to this incredible revelation that we have the power to change the way we think and actually shape all the lives. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I think when people hear the word mind renewal, some people out there might think, oh my goodness, that sounds too complex for me. I won't be able to do that. That's not really my thing. It is so simple that a child can do it. We've made it so simple. We've made it so accessible so that anyone can renew their mind with very basic tools and techniques. So if people out there are tired of going around the same mountain or carrying the same emotional baggage, seeking help from different sources but still not getting breakthrough, that is where we love to serve people.
And for example, we're going to have a new intake now in middle September for one-on-one coaching and group coaching. So we invite people who's ever out there who wants to walk this walk with us, because in this process, we begin and end every session with prayer. So there's prayer covering, there is support. We are your cheerleader. We are assisting you every step of the way. And of course, you know, people on their own, sometimes their intentions are good, but they don't follow through. And what we do, we make sure from beginning to end that they do achieve those results. And to see people's faces and eyes changing is the most rewarding thing in the world. And it just impacts their relationships and everything else.
We've had people come out of devastating marriages or like 40 years of living in total captivity, and within 1 month already slowly having signs of transformation. And then within 3 months, we've seen people starting to launch their own ministries at the end of the program, which has really been,
beautiful.
You know, and that, like, is that's the whole point. And that is,
it's
that's
beautiful.
What's so exciting.
When is the next Palace Invite? You said you were having like a once a month meeting. When is that going to be about?
The next Palace community will
be
on the 18th of September.
Yeah, that could probably, we just have to, we're not 100% sure about the dates because we've been traveling around, but it'll be either the 18th or the 19th. Well, group coaching start, but I do believe that we will be on the 15th perhaps.
Oh, it's on the 15th.
Yeah,
I think
it's
you're
Palace
right
community. Where everybody
which can come on.
It's free.
It's on Zoom.
It's on Zoom. And and of course we have a mind renewal intensive course. We call it MRI, mind renewal. I'm actually right here in Pretoria now. It is our third day tomorrow. It is fantastic. It is very intensive, but you can see people. You think they would not sit still for so long, but they are captivated because we do the biblical side, we do the scientific side, we do the word, and then the how-to, and at the end, the Friday is a workshop. So if ever we get an invitation out there,
beautiful.
Then
that is for like super accelerated.
That is fantastic if you can do the course and then do the coaching. But either way, we assist you along this path of transformation.
It's amazing. I love it because you know our soul and our body lets us know. You know when we have the longings or the discontent.
Yeah.
You know, if we can zero in on that and change, it's just amazing. It's amazing. And with the Holy Spirit, it's just because I believe, I've always believed God has a plan for each one of us. You know, I used to always say in real estate, God, why is it real estate? I'd rather it be self-help. But then I was told years ago, real estate's a vehicle because, we do so much and meet so many people and then can go from there. This is beautiful. I love it. We only have about 7 minutes left. So the hour went by so fast. Went by really fast, and this has been so exciting. I am so excited. What you're doing is just so beautiful, and it's just amazing how many people you're helping and how many you're going to help and tying it in together. When you tie it in that so well that way, it makes it easier for people to understand, you know, people that need to come to God, need to come to the Holy Spirit, and maybe haven't 100% yet, you know? I think
we've seen people actually come to know the Lord actually through signing up for coaching.
Even the first session, I don't know what came over me with this one woman. She came up, she's in Mexico. And I said, I don't know where I got the boldness or the audacity from, but I said to her, if you have to die today, do you know where you're going?
Aww.
She gave her right there and then to Jesus, and she's so on fire today.
Wow, I love it. I love it. And your life definitely changes.
We said to her, that is definitely a for free call. We will not charge you for that. So we... So we started the next one, you know. Yeah. We even gave her two calls for free because I just couldn't do that, you know, because for me that was
amazing.
Too sacred.
Yeah,
no,
it's been such an exciting journey because we've seen God work in some of the poorest places of the earth. We've seen him work in mansions. We've seen him work in business places or in game lodges. And to be on this journey with my mom has been so special. You know, it's so unusual.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's been like just an absolute champion and a hero to me. You know, she modeled what faith is. She's been my best friend in this journey. And I think that it's a time where people need to start to realize the value of family. And also from young people's perspective, is there so much value in the older generation? Even though the older generation might not always see what you see or might not be always so with it and up to date as you are, they still have life experience and wisdom. And if you take what you have, if you take your gifts and your talents, and you can build that upon the foundation of the older generation, you're going to walk in a much greater level of success and accomplishment. And then vice versa, if you look at the older generation, I think it's so vitally important that the older generation, before they pass on, deposit their value, their value, their knowledge, their skills, their wisdom to the younger generation. Because I believe that if you've achieved much in your life, but you haven't passed it down to the younger generation, you actually have not completed your assignment. So when there's that merging of the older and the younger generation, the older generation comes to the success in their assignments when they've passed on what they have, but the younger generation can also only come into a full manifestation of their gift and their talent when it's built upon the wisdom of the older generation. And I think that is one of the reasons why God has been so good to us. Of course, his grace, but also following his pattern where you see Joshua, yeah. Moses, or Eli. I mean, it's right throughout the Bible that God builds generationally. And I think that that is something that's been under attack, and you see a big attack on family. People are trying to take apart the family unit because there's tremendous purpose. There's tremendous purpose in generational building. That is where the power lies.
Amen.
Amen. Sure. I agree. This has been fabulous. Wonderful. We'll have to be staying in touch and getting into what you're doing. This is just, it's definitely not an accident that I believe that you came on today. I think this is just wonderful.
We're grateful, Natalie. We were so excited when we got your message. We were just like, wow, you come from, like, we were just so excited. We were so looking forward to this.
Yep.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
See,
I have to,
so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'll have to tell you the story, with my story, another time. And it's just, it's always been God, always, you know, that keeps pushing me through a lot that we have to do, you know, for everything. And it's amazing how you get the visions and you know, and sometimes it's not easy. It's not always easy, but you can have the peace and the comfort, you know, peace and the comfort of knowing where it's coming from. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and that will take you through. That is it. It's not questionable. He is setting us up for victory.
Absolutely.
He's turning every, that is what he's expert at. He takes our disappointments, turns it into an appointment. I was even thinking last night, our tears and trauma, it turns into triumph. If you allow him to, he'll hurt into healing.
Exactly.
It's just the way God operates. All things work together for good for those who love God.
What's vitally important is it's a really big decision point when people are facing trauma or disappointment or just a bad experience in general. There's two choices you can make. You can either run away from God, which is what many people do, which I've seen firsthand, is people just, it causes them to turn away because they get resentful, they feel like God has let them down, or people actually take that pain or disappointment and they run into God with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where you take your hurt and you put it in his hand. And he actually uses it to weave together this incredible story. And it's like David and Goliath, when Goliath came with his sword and he was like, he's going to take him out. And David said, no, I'm going to take you out. And David actually...
Absolutely.
It's a little bit graphic, but David...
No, it's really, it's so true. It's so real. And I think when you live it and know and you believe it, you see it. Because I could tell you story after story after story. Where I could go complete. We are just about at the end, and I don't want it to just cut off on us. And again, we've been with Hermione and David Vandenberg with, beautiful, beautiful people, and they have Palace Woman Coaching, and this has been wonderful. We'll have to come back, and we'll definitely be, I'll be in touch too. It's just what you're doing is so on fire and so beautiful.
Thank you, Matt.
So needed.
Huh?
Man.
So thank you so
much.
And
God bless you, and God bless all the listeners. We are absolutely looking forward to you. Please contact us. It will be our delight.
Thank you. Amen. And God bless you all, too. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.